I can really, really understand people's frustration at this stage, and no more so than my own. We were told the end of July, first of all, then was mid-September, then was the end of September. And then it was going to be 3 weeks beyond that, bringing you into sort of the last week of October. And then it was the 9th of November. And now we're looking at the 26th and possibly the 23rd. Sorry, the 16th and possibly the 23rd even. More likely to be the 16th, from what I'm led to believe from conversations yesterday. But what would really counterbalance that for me was the news that the 350 was actually what was being proposed. So it was more than a leak. It was fact. And that wasn't something that the minister knew was going to float with us. And on the back of that, he has delayed it. He's needing the consensus that he hasn't yet got for a better package than that. I don't know what the numbers are going to be. All I do know, and it's very, very clear, 350 comes nowhere near what it needs to be. And with the amount of homeowners we're going to have left behind, it was never going to float for us. That said, and like I said in your last time you interviewed me there recently, Greg, we don't have a veto on that. So the best we can do as a lobby group is influence that as best we can. I think the campaign's done a good job around that, and we anxiously await now and see what this better outcome looks like, either on the 16th or 23rd.
We don't want to talk about caps, Michael, but is there a figure? 350, clearly not acceptable, but is there a figure that...
Well, yeah, well, what I say on that, Greg, is we have done a simple math in ways. We have got the first 135 homes that were recommended for demolition. And, at whatever point a so-called cap is drawn, we can very easily look at the spreadsheet and say the percentage of homes that leaves behind. So if you're in a situation where you're looking at 500,000, then you've left about 4% of your people behind. So at 350, you have 40% of your people left behind. So whatever number they may come in at is going to be somewhere between that 4 and 40% of our people. So we know that number, the higher that number is, the less people's left behind. And that's the simple methodology that we've got.
And as you say, it's not like it's the ministers, the cabinet that sign off on this. It's not you, it's not Eileen, it's not Paddy, it's no one, it's them. But, there's something, we come to a point that triggers the threats of running local election candidates. Mm-hmm. Of putting out there that we don't actually accept this. Mm-hmm. What is the line in the sand there as such? Because there's an awful... Because to some extent too, I presume, Michael, continuing the campaign is prolonging it for people at the same time as well. Do you know what I mean? If there's something on the table that is somewhat reasonable, continuing it could also sort of... At come a point where that actually is also almost exacerbating it. Is that possible? I don't know.
Yeah, all of that is true. The reality is we've got a lot more than just a cap to be concerned about. There is the imposing of the housing agency testing and assessment that we're concerned about. There is the issue of guarantees and certification. There's the issue of excluded homes. So we've lots of stuff there. So I think it would be wrong to put a number and say, it falls on the number one way or the other. We need to look at the entire package that comes, Greg, and then see where that lasts for us. But your point is valid in terms of, what's enough for people in terms of prolonging this agony that we're all going through. And I think what will probably happen is come that date, we will look and we'll have our checklist. We'll run down and put ticks against what we had got, against our asks. We'll have to put an X against the stuff we didn't get. And then we have to look at the X's and see, what is the best way of bringing this forward then? Who are the best people to bring this forward? So I've used an example. I would be shocked if we got our commercial buildings and farm buildings through this time around. So, maybe what we need to do then is regroup and we bring in people that are affected directly in the farming organizations, in the commercial organizations, and we bolster them up and they take the next phase of this forward. We just need to look at all of that in due course and see what's left behind and who's best placed to carry that campaign forward. But ultimately, there should be nobody left behind, and that's still our aim.
There shouldn't be, and maybe there are other organizations should be doing a bit of lifting as well. Farmer representative organizations, for example, that could perhaps be putting more focus on this rather than running counter-protests. Well, not counter-protests, sorry, that's a wrong turn of phrase. Protests on the same day as micro-protests. But anyway, that's not for you or I to worry about. That's for others. what is the direction of travel here in what the government, or we'll use that side collectively as the government, want here? Because we were hearing stories yesterday, and they're out there already, about, you know, doing the outer leave. You're kicking the can down the road. You are going to have to most likely return to the inner leaf, it seems. And then even at that point, there's also question marks about foundations and all that kind of stuff. In terms of the options that will be open to people or offered to people, what is likely, Michael, as things stand now, or what is the, what are maybe the government and their people trying to push people towards? Is it outer leaf only replacements, or what?
I believe there's a real split in methodology at senior officials level. If I was to reflect on everything that I've learned over the time of the housing department, I do believe the housing department are exchequer focused. They are looking to reduce the number of rebuild or demolish and rebuilds in the interest of the exchequer. And I do think that is their focus, their primary focus. That's my honest belief on it. I think if you look at the housing agency who presided over the Leinster Pyrite scheme, it seems to have a very different methodology there. And what they did in the Leinster Pyrite scheme and what the advice they have been providing to us all along is that do the job right seems to be their mantra. So there's two different methodologies within the civil servant circles, housing department versus the housing agency. And the housing agency, it seems, are going to have a role in whatever it is the announcement is and the deployment of that announcement. So I would welcome that. I think our experience of the housing agency has been really good. That said, it's still a state-run department, and we're very conscious of that as well. But certainly their methodology around leaving the job right, I think, is to be welcomed, because there are lots of questions around outer leaf versus demolishes. There's lots of questions around foundations. We've highlighted all of these. And as I say, that's why the outcome is more than just a number or a cap. You know, it's the package, and that's what we have to reflect upon.
Yeah, it just would be, I don't know if the word's ironic, if, you know, the people that were begging to make sure there is proper oversight, proper regulations on materials, on the type of work that's being carried out, if they themselves could find themselves in 10 or 15 years being criticised for pushing out a leaf replacement and costing the state multiples of billion more in the long run. I mean, that would just be the ultimate irony. But in this whole journey, in this whole thing, journey, whatever you want to call it, nothing would surprise at this stage.
Exactly. And we can rule nothing out. You know, you talk about what's ironic. What's ironic for me is the effort that the housing department has put into minimizing the amount of compensation that goes to a homeowner for remedial works because they want to save the exchequer money. And on the other hand, they've left the gate wide open. We know that there was no regulation over quarries right up until Paddy Diver closed the main quarry that we know to be the culprit. That was no authorities that closed these guys down. That was a campaign devised by Paddy Diver on the ground, starting in Carindonagh on that particular day. And when they stopped the lorries going in there, and on the back of that very successful boycott campaign, they ran out of customers. They had no customers, and the only reason that there's not more houses being built with defective blocks today is because of a Paddy Diver campaign and not the authorities. So while the authorities were looking to see how they can screw down the amount of compensation that's coming to a family, they were leaving the gate wide open for more houses to come back in to be a problem on the road, which is completely unbelievable. But that's why nothing shocks me at this stage, Greg, and we have to have our eyes on every aspect of this campaign, including that oversight and that regulation, because it doesn't seem to be landing right with them that they have taken this on properly and done anything about it. Very, very recently, as in the last week, we've seen the minister call for an audit of the quarries. You know, 2014, this was all made available to them. And the amount of houses that's been built in that window since is staggering.
So look,
and
yet, houses could have been rebuilt.
On it goes.
Mike, affected houses could have been rebuilt with defective blocks We just don't know. Okay, yeah. Well, sure. Of course, I just want to ask you too about this prospect of running candidates, and it's just something that's on in my mind. In that, you know, it's not something that can be particularly targeted, and I can see the situation where if it were to happen, that you could have, you know, a hardcore, say, for instance, you know, I mean, in government at the moment is Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I'm not bashing them, but they're the parties that are in government at the moment, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they enjoy a core support. They still do, you know, certainly by candidate, if not as a collective. You guys were on candidate. You could find yourselves ousting, you know, potentially friendly party representatives to your cause, at least when they're not in government. It's easy to promise the sun, the moon, and the stars. And retaining those that you wanted to put under pressure or displace. I mean, that is a risk. Is it a risk worth taking?
Yeah, well, there's always that risk. But I think, Greg, you know, as I said before, any good campaign has to look at plan A, B, C, and so on. We had to look at where our leverage was coming from. We understood the leverage we had with the 15 Empire TDs down the Western Seaboard and in Donegal. And, you know, the Dublin protest that you were down at yourself, you know, we called it out. We told them they were on notice, and that... if it comes to it and they can't either from outside the seats of power influence those within, or the in-party TDs that have got their own parties in power, if they can't influence them to do the right thing, then they need to step aside. You know, and that's where it's at. They've got to either put their people before their party or their party before their people. And this is what it boils down to. There, I can assure you there's nobody with any political ambitions within our campaign here. We are ordinary homeowners. We want to go back to the jobs that we're already doing on a full-time basis, which has been largely swamped by MICA for a long, long time. Mm. But that's where we want to be. We have no desire to be anywhere down near that dial after we get our homes fixed. But we are not walking away from the campaign. We have made that obligation to our people, and we will follow that through. And if that's what it takes to make it happen, Greg, then that's what it takes. But over and above that, you know, there is a legal case running there through Dave Coleman as well, where there's 200 homes being used as test cases. We are going out to, with Eileen and Anne and a few others, to Brussels here at the end of the month, you know, to help Europe put pressure on our Irish government. We're already working with some of the congressmen in the States, from particularly Philadelphia, from Boston and New York. So we have lots of other irons in the fire that are all in the direction of goodness in terms of putting pressure on the government to give us the scheme we deserve.